You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Taxpayers Union released a media statement yesterday saying that Matidia Turde must pay back the money she stole from taxpayers before she can have any credibility as a Member of Parliament. This, of course, is in reference to Turde's admission at the Green Party's AGM in the weekend that when she was a solo mum in the early 90s, she lied to Wins about her living situation so that her benefit wouldn't get cut. The Taxpayers Union says Turde owes $57,000 in total because the weekly payment of the domestic purposes benefit in 1993, converted to today's dollars, is approximately $366. Ms. Turde mentioned in the media her fraud lasted 3 years. That's at least $57,000 she owes taxpayers, according to the Taxpayers Union. This has been reported by a number of media outlets without much scrutiny. Lawyer Graham Edgler has pointed out Turde only lied about living with flatmates. She told Wynne she was living alone, so her accommodation supplement wouldn't get reduced. But the accommodation supplement is only a sliver of her actual full benefit. We spoke to him about the problems with the figures the Taxpayers Union have produced.
They seem exceptionally unlikely to be correct, in my opinion. What Matidia has said she's done is claim too much in the accommodation supplement. She told Wynne she was paying a certain amount of rent, and then, you know, someone else moved in, and suddenly her rent has gone down. And so that would not affect the amount of the domestic purposes benefit she was receiving. It would only affect the amount of the accommodation supplement she was receiving. And in 1993, the maximum accommodation supplement was $50. If Matidia was getting that, you know, it might have been $20 or $25 that she got too much a week. So unless she was doing this for, you know, 15, 20 years, it's not going to add up to $57,000.
Where did you get those figures from, the figure of $50 a week?
I looked up the legislation that was in force at the time. The accommodation supplement was first created in 1993, around the time this was happening, and the maximum amount for the accommodation supplement for someone living in Dunedin was $50. It was slightly higher in Wellington, Auckland, but Dunedin and the rest of the country, the maximum amount you could get as a single parent with children, or at least a single parent with our child, was $50.
If it does turn out that $57,000 is too high, are there any potential consequences for the Taxpayers Union for coming out with an incorrect figure?
Probably not. You know, Matidia is a politician who has admitted, in a sense at least, to possibly committing a sort of some level of benefit fraud. They've said exactly how they calculated. They basically took the DPB now and said, you got the DPB for 3 years and this is how much it was. They're wrong. I think they know they're wrong, probably, or at least. But they've been clear about how they've calculated and why they say she owes that amount of money. Matidia is a politician, you know, she can take that sort of criticism, I would have thought.
And I see that she has come out and said, if she is investigated, which she sort of expects to be, that she will pay it back. How easy would it be for the government to sort of look back and work out how much she did owe?
Well, it's not necessarily all that easy. I mean, a lot of the documents that they have, you know, how much did she claim at the time, how much did she say her rent was, when did her rent come down because someone else moved in, all sort of questions like that. I can't really remember what my rent was 10 years ago. I doubt she can remember what her rent was, you know, 23, 25 years ago. And it's very unlikely, I'd have thought, that the government kept the document. And, you know, if everyone seemed to have been more than one flat, how could you work it out? I mean, even if it was the full of, you know, most people are entitled to some level of accommodation supplement. I mean, the answer could even be, for some of this, Matidia might have been entitled to the full accommodation supplement even if she'd told them the correct amount of her rent. It caps out at $50, and if your rent is a lot higher, you can potentially get the same accommodation supplement if your rent is, you know, $250 a week as if it is, you know, $180 a week or something like that. So for some of this period, maybe even a lot of it, Matidia might not have received more money than she was entitled to at all. And that's going to be very difficult, I would have thought, to work out, to know, well, what was your actual rent, what did you say your rent was, what were you actually paying it for, when did those periods apply. You know, that's one of the reasons why you have sort of time limits on prosecution. That it can be difficult when you're talking about sort of particularly low-level things like this. Can be difficult for people to be able to work out what actually went on.
Why should New Zealanders care so much about this?
Because your children will curse you if you don't.
The Wire.
Following that interview, reporter Caitlin McElhagger spoke to the Taxpayers Union Executive Director Jordan Williams about Edgell's concerns with the figures and our own calculations, which showed the figure to be much lower. She began by asking Williams how he reached the figure of $57,000.
Well, the $57,000 is an equivalent of 3 years in today's dollars of the DPB back in the early 90s. It's clearly not going to be an exact amount to what Materia Ture actually owes the taxpayer, but it's a starting point because she's obviously admitted that she defrauded the taxpayer, she lied for 3 years, putting aside the moral question of whether she was justified at the time. Now that she earns close to $250,000, she's a senior MP, she's in the top 1% of income earners, we're simply saying pay it back.
Now, you've said that you've calculated this based on the whole of the DPB, as if she had unfairly claimed the DPB itself for 3 years. However, what she's admitted to doing is to not declaring to WINS when other people had moved into the house she was living in and were helping to pay the rent, so which would actually make it an accommodation supplement issue, wouldn't it? Why have you used the whole DPB?
Well, it's an unknown. It's a starting figure. It may be less, it may be more. We don't know the precise time frame, for example, but it's a starting point. You know, this isn't a small amount. Tohinere admitted in 1999, I think it was, that he was overpaid by WINS. Within 48 hours, it was paid back, but that was only $47. This is clearly a heck of a lot more. And as we say, it's not good enough for Materia Ture to say she'll pay it back if she's asked to, or if there's an investigation by WINS. She knows right from wrong. She illegally took this money. She should pay it back.
Now, I think one of the issues with her paying it back is that it was such a long time ago that she's not even sure what she could possibly owe. So we spoke this morning with Graham Edgler, who has said that the maximum level of accommodation supplement in 1993 was $50 a week. So we found a WINS document which said that a single parent with one child, as Matidia was, if they were paying market rent of $100, they'll be entitled to a $22 accommodation supplement. So we've done some calculations, adjusted them.
That's not quite right, because, of course, there's the implication that she's also not declared the income. So it's actually a tax
what income?
Well, the income from
the additional beneficiaries.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, beneficiaries, from the additional flatmates.
Correct. So there's a lot of unknowns here. And the person...
But sorry, what would her declaring that income have to do with anything? Did she own the house that she was living in?
No, that changes her taxable income.
Does it, though? I mean, if she was living in a rental property and she would just be, that's the landlord's taxable income.
Well, no, if she's subletting it, see, it depends on the circumstance. I mean, for example, if she was in a Housing New Zealand home and was subletting it, then that opens a whole new can of worms. I mean, the problem we have is this, is that Materia Ture is in the best position to answer these. She can very easily file a request under the Privacy Act to find out all these details, and it wouldn't be hard to calculate the precise amount. The problem is she's been an MP now for, 15 years? And she's been on in the top 1% of earners over that time, and yet she's failed to lift a finger. The moment that the story is about to rear its ugly head, because there were people shopping this around over the last few weeks, she's claiming to take this moral high ground by front-footing the story and getting it out there. Well, that's just ridiculous.
But I assume that it was going around in the last...
We've worked out a figure. You can dispute if you want, but that's absolutely fine, and maybe she wants to. But she should shine some more sunlight on this and pay the money back. That's what we're hearing from our tens of thousands of members and supporters.
Absolutely, you know, we can dispute the figure as much as we like, but I do think that we are heading towards, I mean, you cannot possibly say that Matidia getting extra rent from people affects her taxable income. I mean, there's no, you know, we don't know that she was owning a house. That's not, I mean, my taxable income doesn't go up because my rental property leases in my name and my flatmates pay rent for that. I mean, so I just think that the figure of $57,000 is a very eye-catching, very grabbing figure, We've done a calculation that says that if she claimed the maximum amount that she wasn't entitled to, which is unlikely because she would have been entitled to most, some, all of it at various times in these 3 years, that if she had claimed $50 a week she wasn't entitled to for 3 years, adjusted for inflation, it would be $36,000. I'm just saying that the methodology that you've used in terms of calculating this is quite misleading, and I'm wondering whether or not the Taxpayers Union is worried that they may face some sort of defamation action.
Not at all. Look, the facts are, Materia Ture has admitted to defrauding the taxpayer. Whether she's defrauded $57,000 or $36,000...
Or less than that, likely.
It's certainly in the tens of thousands. You know, I mean, let's get back to the real issue. This is a great diversion, but she owes that money.
But, I mean, it is...
She needs to write a cheque. She needs to figure out what that amount is. She needs to write a cheque before she can have any moral standing to pass laws that she expects New Zealanders to follow. I mean, look, the thing is, I mean, I was brought up by a single mum, and she made enormous sacrifices for me. As far as I know, she didn't break tax law or commit benefit fraud. But putting aside the moral question of whether she was, and that's what the Greens are really focusing on, whether she was justified in breaking the law at the time, she's no longer in that vulnerable position. She's in the 1%, in the elite. She should be paying that money back so that that money is available for people who are currently on desperate times and on welfare or single mums.
In a statement given to us this morning by the Ministry of Social Development, they stated that they administer, across all income assistance services, $23 billion in assistance each year. So, I mean, even at your figure of $57,000, that's a drop in the bucket of $23 billion, yet in your press release you state that you are bringing this invoice to her on behalf of all the taxpayers and beneficiaries who follow the law and miss out as a result of this fraud. Who exactly are you thinking is missing out on $57,000 20 years ago?
That's a disgrace to suggest that the amount isn't material, because for people on hard times, that is a very material amount. It was really interesting listening to Christine Rankin, the CEO of Work and Income, at the time this fraud would have occurred, pointing out yesterday that actually at the time New Zealand, they were proud that New Zealand's support for solo mums was the most generous in the OECD. But that system relied on trust, and Materia Ture breached that trust. She has made a false declaration or failed to declare a change in circumstances. And that is a very real issue for someone that now wants to be the minister guarding that purse, or being in charge of this very large budget.
I'm not suggesting that it's not a material amount. Obviously, that is a lot of money, no matter what way you cut it. What I'm questioning is the idea that, because I feel like you're implying in the statement that somehow the amount of money that there is to go around in the welfare state is a kind of, there's a specific limit, you know, there's a specific amount of the pie. And so if somebody takes $57,000 of that, then there's $57,000 less to go around, which isn't how our welfare state money is administered. And I feel like you're implying that by her not declaring this, that she prevented other people from having access to the money at the time, which is not how the budget works.
Well, no, hang on. I mean, in the same way as the Taxpayers Union point out that every dollar of government waste is a dollar that are taken from a hard-working New Zealander that gets up in the morning, goes to work, pays their taxes, exactly the same way as that we jump up and down and pass on details where we have tip-offs about tax fraud, this is no different. Someone who takes money from the government and they're not entitled to is taking that money from someone else. The beneficiary that does live within the law, for example. Now, but I'm really less interested in that side of things. It's more the position now. She can afford to pay it back, but she's not. And that is simply staggering from the point of view of our members and supporters, because she is now part of that 1% that ideologically she riles against. Materia Ture has an ideological view that the government is best placed to support the poor and vulnerable rather than, say, charity. Well, give that money that you weren't entitled to back to the government so that they can use it for the purposes that Materia wants them to.
Just to finally go back to the interesting, you know, divergent point of defamation. Defamation is defined as the publication of an untrue statement that tends to harm another person's reputation or standing. And so you have to prove a number of things. One of them is that the statements are defamatory, that they were untrue and have damaged your reputation. You're saying that $57,000 isn't an exact amount. It's a starting point. You know, you've worked out this figure. You're using this figure to kind of make a point. Yet you're going to be having your mascot, Porky, deliver an invoice for that amount on behalf of all of these people. Are you not at all worried that, I mean, you've admitted that this number isn't possibly true, but you do seem to be starting a campaign, you know, the Taxpayers Union is starting a campaign as if it is and as if you can legitimately, you know, present an invoice for this amount of money. Are you sure that you're not worried that the Taxpayers Union is going to lose credibility because of this? You have also issued an apology this morning for getting some facts in another situation wrong. Are you not worried about that in this case?
Oh, no, to the contrary. In relation to the release this morning, totally different circumstances. But here you have a national politician. The public interest is to keep politicians accountable for their actions. There's a privilege afforded to people criticising politicians. Here's a politician who has admitted to benefit fraud. You know, I mean, she is she was admitted onto the bar. There's legitimate questions around there about whether she disclosed this to the Law Society when she...
And also whether or not she was required to.
No, of course she was. There's no doubt about that. There was one person on Twitter questioned it, but no, there's absolutely no doubt. There's one thing my profession look for. It is for past behaviour which suggests dishonesty or fraudulent behaviour. So, I mean, this is very clearly something material. But it's the same as if someone is convicted of, say, tax evasion. If you subsequently you allege that they evaded, you know, $1 million versus $500,000, well, that doesn't materially lower the reputation of that person. Here we have a very senior politician. She hasn't said the amount that she's ripped off New Zealand taxpayers. We're a taxpayer advocacy group. We've calculated this figure. We're inviting her to clarify. If she says it's wrong, it's actually this amount, we'll look into that, and we'd be quite happy to accept her word. But at the moment, she's not willing to say what the amount is. But even worse, she's not willing to pay it back. So if we can provide a little bit
more
sunshine...
She has said that she'll pay it back, though, if there's an investigation.
No. If there's an investigation, come on. She should know right from wrong. And what
but it's also about the dollar amount, isn't it?
Legally wrong. Say again?
It's also about the dollar amount, though. She's saying, I mean, I don't remember what my rent was 3 years ago. I mean, this was in 1993. And so there's a question of trawling back through all of her records with Wins, all of her bank statements, all of her rental agreement, you know, everything that she had from, you know, 20, whatever it is, years ago. I mean, it's a question of the quantum, not her willingness to pay it back. You know, she said that if you know, there is an investigation, she will.
No,
the issue
no,
is the quantum that she owes.
She's been very sneaky on that, actually. She's been very sneaky. What she's saying, and she's putting the department in a horrendous position. We are just over 2 months out from an election, and where she is seeking, and it's not fanciful, that she will be minister of this very department, and she's staring at that department saying, I will only pay back this debt if you do an investigation or prosecute me, which is obviously going to take longer. If you were the chief executive of Work and Income or Ministry for Social Development, you are in a horrendous position that your potential next minister is saying, come and get me. Or inviting them to get into the political fray. That is atrocious. She should be writing to the ministry saying, look, here's what I remember, here are the facts, here's my bank statements if necessary. I obviously owe you something. What is it? Let's inflation adjust it. I'll write you a cheque. That's
right.
What she should be doing. Instead, she's taking this. She's taking all the high principles on that she's coming clean. Well, there's questions about why she's coming clean. And secondly, is she's not actually saying, of course I'll pay back the amount, because I now am in the position where I can. And we think that is hypocritical. We think that it's wrong when there are millions of New Zealanders that get up, go to work, pay their taxes, work hard, many of them on Struggle Street, that are honest and upfront about their tax and disclosure requirements for Work and Income. We think that Materia should be held up to the same standard as everyone else. Materia Toure made very good comments in relation to Todd Barclay, that MPs should not be above the law, and that even if you disagree with laws, MPs should be required to follow the law that Parliament passes. We're simply expecting the same from her.
The Wire.
That's funny. What does it sound like?
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.